Jerusalem, how I long for you to gaze at your walls, to walk on your streets, Jerusalem.
Shalom, everyone. Welcome to this week's Living Torah. And no, I'm not in my office. I'm actually on the road. And it seems like if you were in the foothills of the Colorado Rockies, that you could find somewhere of greater attraction as a backdrop. But we're actually at our daughter's house for a couple of days, spending some grandson time. Kathy is spending time with a new grandson that's just an amazing little guy. We got in yesterday and got to hold him a little bit. Kathy's doing the feeding and diapering and all that kind of stuff today. I'm going to be spending a little time with our older grandson, our oldest grandson. We're going to go out and play a little mini golf and probably go to Red Robin and a few other things like that. So with all that, we got a lot of people sleeping, and so I don't want to upset babies' sleep. No, never. So I end up in the basement today. And so concrete wall behind me, well, you just have to imagine what the Colorado Rockies look like. A lot of snow still on the ground. We had a beautiful drive-in yesterday. We'll be heading down to Albuquerque tomorrow. That'll be Wednesday, okay? So tomorrow is actually your yesterday or a few days past. But we'll be heading down to, I'll be doing a wedding, and then over in Levelland, Texas. Okay, Levelland, Texas. I'll be speaking there on both Shabbat and on Sunday. So if you can make it over there, if you're somewhere in the northeast section, or northwest section, actually, of the nation of Texas, come on over and spend some time with us. A couple weeks ago, I said that, it had been quiet for a while. And then last week, of course, we had actually it's been a couple weeks ago now, the mosque shooting down in New Zealand in Christchurch. And now Israel is once again, I would love to say that Israel is in the headlines, but with all of the silliness, there's no other word for me to use than stupidity. With all this going on in the political structure of America, what's happening in Israel is really not making the news. The true news of Israel is not even making the news in Israel right now. So the elections that are being held, it's between Bibi Netanyahu and I can't remember the other person's name that are right up there on the top. I did talk to Anok yesterday. He said it looks like it is going to be neck and neck, but probably the only one that can bring together a coalition government in Israel is Bibi Netanyahu. So, it's going to be pretty much more of the same as it was yesterday as you continue to move forward. I don't have anything really against Bibi Netanyahu, but I think he's had some time to prove himself. That what he was going to do, and I just really don't see that he or any of the others in government there has done anything, which could probably be said all over the world regarding governments. So let's talk about one that speaks of a government. You know, it says in Isaiah, I wasn't going to go here, but I guess I am now. In Isaiah chapter 9, if I can find Isaiah, there it is. I don't have a desk or anything in front of me here, so just if you bear with me today as I try to walk through all of this. So Isaiah chapter 9, it says, "For a child is born unto us, a son is given unto us, and dominion," or the government of the kingdom, "will rest upon his shoulders. He will be given the name Wonderful Counselor, Mighty Elohim, Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace, in order to extend the dominion and perpetuate the peace of the throne of the kingdom of David, to secure it and sustain it through justice and righteousness henceforth and forever. The zeal of Adonai Sabaoth will accomplish this." And of course, we could go over to verses I haven't used in a while from Daniel, the book of Daniel, where it talks about that the Son of Man will come and he will establish a kingdom, an everlasting kingdom upon this earth. So with that is a verse that I think that most all of us are familiar with this verse, at least to some point. I would imagine that most of us could quote this verse. It is a verse that has been a hallmark for me in my life, since I came to Messiah back, and this has been, you know, over 30 years ago now. 33 years is coming up on, as crazy as that sounds. But there's a couple of verses in the scripture that have been verses I've just kind of gone back to. You know, many of us, most of us probably have those verses that are kind of like, you know, it's kind of like my verse, okay? And I remember sitting down and I adopted the first one of those verses for me based upon a conversation I had with a friend of mine at the time who's now passed away. I asked this man, I've been a follower of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob for, you know, literally just a few months. And I found these older men. I've talked about John, but there was others that were involved in that time. One of them, his name was Ken Johnson. And I sat and talked with Ken. He had been a Nazarene church planter, which basically meant that he had, you know, gone from place to place, set up churches, planted churches, got them going, and then they moved him off somewhere else. He died penniless. He died, he had an apartment, small apartment, him and his wife. They could afford nothing, but he lived a life that was rich when it came to eternity. I asked Ken one day, I said, what has been the hallmark verse of your life? And he said, the verse, it's in Psalms, it says, I can't remember exactly where it's at. I could if I wasn't here trying to remember it. But it's, this poor man cried, and Yahweh heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. That verse just kind of struck me because that's where I was at the time. And in many ways, still kind of continue to walk that life out because it says that Yah heard him. This poor man cried, and Yah heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. I don't know about you, but I'm still in the process of coming to the all. I haven't reached, as Shaul will talk about here, I have not attained the all of that. I'm still in the process of that. So this is something that each of us go through. The process of being delivered out of all of our troubles. And in that, we need to have grace for each other. That as the Father's working on you, I need to have grace, the same grace that He's showing you. I need to have that. As He's working on me, the same grace that I'm asking Him for, I need to be showing to others, and you need to be showing to others. I was praying not too long ago for someone, and I really felt this very, very close, that, you know, people at times frustrate us, do they not? I don't know about you. People frustrate. In fact, I frustrate me, okay? I frustrate me quite often. I know that I frustrate my wife quite often. And I was kind of talking to the Father about the frustrations of dealing with someone. And it was very clear that the words that I was hearing was, you know, the same frustration that you have in dealing with somebody else is kind of the frustration that I have at times dealing with you. But I keep showing you my grace. How about you keep showing them my grace also, and you be graceful in the midst of the situation. Easy words to quote, words that are a bit more difficult to actually to live out, are they not? So with that, the second verse is Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. It's a verse that I actually had a very good friend that was a part of our congregation in Spring Creek, Florida. He was a woodworker, and so he made this scripture. He made this scripture out of with his own bandsaw. Made this scripture and put it on the back, which would have been the front of the church, but it was where from the pulpit I could see it all the time. And it's Philippians 3:10, to know Him and the power of His resurrection. If I had to was put in a corner and said that you have to take one verse out of all of Scripture, and that's the only verse that you're going to be able to take with you from now on. Every bit of the Scripture, everything else, is going to be erased from your mind, from your memory. You're going to, all of your Bibles, your software, everything is going to be taken from you. You have one verse that you can hang on to. That verse would be Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. To know Him and the power of His resurrection. And I know that the verse goes on from there. We're going to get into that as we move forward. So he says, and let me just go back, because it says, yes, I gave it all up in order to know Him. I gave up what? What did I give up? What did Shaul, what was he talking about? He is on the heels of giving his pedigree. And so it was his self-righteousness. It was the way that he was looking at himself. It was he was quitting. Let me say it this way, kind of a little twist on the wording here. He quit relying on himself to find himself. He quit relying on himself to find and become himself. And so for me, it says, it means this, that I have to quit relying on me to become me. I have to quit relying on myself to become the person that I was intended to be. See, this is man's great quest, to become the person that we are created to be. Each one of us come into this world with a stamp upon us. I was teaching a congregation this past weekend in Tulsa, and I was teaching a little bit about this, that, you know, everything today is about branding. No matter what you buy, it is branded. You can find the brand on it. Yesterday there was the big convention for Apple. That's a well-known trademark in the world today. You see that apple with the bite taken out of it, and I don't believe that it is a demonic thing going back to the garden, by the way. But everybody knows that to be Apple. Trademarks that are international. Coca-Cola is one of the number one. KFC, you can see that. McDonald's, I mean, it goes on and on and on. So everything that we have in this world today has a trademark. It has a brand on it. And if you were to go to a store, I'm going to take my grandson to Best Buy a little bit later on, because I need a small electronic thing. So, you know, if you were to go into Best Buy, or Walmart, or wherever you want to go, and you were to want to buy a new television, okay, what would you do? You would not only look at the price, but you would look at the brand. And you would determine in your mind what the best brand is and the lowest price. And somewhere in the midst of that, you will find what is to you a value. But the value is not just based upon the price. The value is placed upon is based upon the brand also. So you probably would not companies would not buy a television, a higher priced television, that had a lower branding on it. You know, some of these store brands. You wouldn't buy that. You're going to go to the best. Understand this, that you and I come into this world with a brand. I was saying to the congregation that my initials are AMC. Okay, I go by my middle name, which means Adonai Manufacturing Corporation. So see, I understand that I came into this world with a brand. And that brand carries a purpose. That brand carries a reputation. And so I am a walking reputation. I am a walking symbol, an image of the reputation of the one that created me. People come into this world trying to find their branding, trying to find their purpose. I did that. I spent years of my life trying to find a purpose in life. It was not until I knew him that my purpose, that my branding, that I understood the brand upon my life, that I understood I began to understand the purpose of my life. It all began when I knew him. In those moments of an introduction to him, because as we've talked about earlier, in earlier videos on this, that he said, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. So in this verse, if I am to know him, I am to know the Father. But the scripture is very clear. No man has seen the Father and lived. So there is and I kind of translate that into my own thinking, whether I'm right or wrong on this. I'm not putting this out as doctrine, okay? But I would see that translation as no man has seen the fullness of the Father and lived. That there is a place, there is a revelation of the fullness of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, that if you and I were to receive that in our current state, in our fallen state, even in a redeemed state spiritually, but a fallen state physically, that it would destroy us instantaneous. We would not be able to handle that in this, as I said, redeemed fallen state. Okay, we are redeemed, and we are in the process of redemption. Think about that one. We are redeemed, but we are in the process of redemption. Here in just a couple of weeks, we will go back to, we'll go to Pesach, Passover. We will, I pray, you're making plans. I'll actually be in Nashville this year myself. You will be making plans for the commemoration of Hebrews coming out of Egypt, and also a future event that we believe to be happening, that is happening, I fully believe, right in front of our eyes today. But the Hebrews, though they were redeemed from Egypt, they were not fully redeemed. They did not cross from Egypt directly into the land of Canaan. It was a process that they were going through, many of them, most of them, dying in the wilderness. And so that's the thing. We are redeemed, and we are in the process of being redeemed. So to know him is to know the Father. It says to know the power of his resurrection. To know him, that is to know the power of his resurrection. So to know Messiah, and how do we know Messiah? Go back to scripture I quote all the time. Psalm 40, verse 7, behold, I am coming, in the scroll of the book it is written of me. Every week when we open the Torah, every week when we open the scriptures as a whole, our focus should be of finding Messiah. For if we find Messiah, we are finding a road to the fullness that we can receive today. And so to know Him is to know the Father. To know the power of His resurrection is to know the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. The one who raised Messiah from the dead. So we see that the Ruach gave Messiah power over death. Okay, we'll be reading that story, God willing. Don't go through Passover as with the rest of the festivals. Do not go through Passover without referencing Messiah. There are many in this walk that will do so. They will pick up a Siddur, and they will go through that Siddur step by step, leaving at the end of the evening, having done the four cups and the blessings and the questions and all of those things, and having never even acknowledged the Messiah, the one that the Pesach Siddur is looking at. We will read the account of His death. We will read the account of Him being placed in an empty tomb. We will read the account of the resurrection. Without the resurrection, you and I are no different than any other religion. Let's get a hold of that. Without the resurrection, you and I have no greater power than any other religion. Without the resurrection, you might as well just go ahead and do the Buddha thing, or the Confucius thing, or the New Age thing, and you know, go to Sedona, Arizona, and put your credit cards under rocks and pray for financial blessing. Do whatever crazy thing you want to do, because it really doesn't matter. Because in every one of those situations, every one of those religions is about a dead or dying leader. Consider that. Buddha is dead. Confucius is dead. Every leader of every religion upon this earth is dead. Now, how does that go to New Age? I said to those that are dead or dying, those that are portraying this New Age doctrine today, and have been for many years now, are dying. They have no power over death. The only, and I'll quote unquote, religion that has a confirmed power over death is that one that is revealed within the scriptures here. Not just I believe that the resurrection, the death, burial, resurrection of Messiah is revealed in the Tanakh as well as in the Gospels. But the power of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, is not only a power over death, but is a power over life. What do I mean by that? It's a power over our daily life. That through the resurrection power, if that same Spirit that raised Messiah, the book of Acts, if that same Spirit that raised Messiah from the dead dwells in you, He shall quicken your mortal body. Greater is He who lives in me than he who lives in the world. We live in an age of people walking in fear. People walking in fear of death, and people walking in fear of life. Thank you.
Jerusalem, how I love for you to gaze at your walls, to walk on your streets, Jerusalem.
People walking in fear of death and people walking in fear of life. People walking in fear of the things that are going on around them. This is why I am not a proponent of the conspiracy theories. Do I believe that there is a conspiracy upon this planet today? Absolutely. Do I believe that men are involved in conspiracies? Absolutely. I even would go so far to say is that I know that there is a power working behind the scenes that is bringing forth these conspiracies, some of them absolutely meaningless, ridiculous, and crazy to the point that it is probably humorous for the demonic forces at times to think, okay, what crazy thing can we come up with now for humans to argue about and be afraid of? See, conspiracies are only about this one thing, producing fear. You can believe in chemtrails or not. It really is, to me, what I'm not even going to give my opinion on chemtrails. Because I don't spend any time looking at chemtrails. I look up in the sky, and I see that the heavens declare the glory of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. I am not distracted from the declaration by the conspiracies. Okay. Let me say that one again. Some of you went, what? Yeah, because I just did too. I've never said that before. Sometimes it's kind of fun once, you know, doing this, even in a basement. I do not allow myself to be distracted from the glory by conspiracies. Because the moment that I'm distracted by a conspiracy, I am now going to focus on the fear. Conspiracies will bring forth fear. Fear will take us from faith. You cannot walk in fear and faith at the same time. So greater is he who is in me than he who is in those conspiracies. Greater is he who is in me than the one that is desiring to produce fear in this world today. If we understand that concept, then we can have not only victory over death, but we can find victory over life. Think about that one for a little while. Now, how did Messiah, to know him and the power of his resurrection, how did he move into the power of the resurrection? Now, it would be, I would imagine though, there would be some that would say, well, you know, he just had it, okay? He was born. And because he was born and he was he was Ben Elohim, because of that, he just had it. It was just there. There was nothing he had to do, but that's not in line with the scriptures. The scripture says in, Hebrews chapter 5 verse 8, even though he was the Ben Elohim, the son, he learned obedience through his sufferings. I've taught on this for many, many years. Never forget the first time that someone taught on this verse. It so impacted me that Messiah, though he was and is Ben Elohim, had to learn anything. That's not something that most of us spend any time on. Concerning ourselves, considering that the Holy One, blessed be He, would have to learn anything, much less learn obedience So how did he learn obedience? The scripture says he learned obedience from the things that he suffered. Now, his suffering did not begin a couple days prior to his execution. His suffering did not begin when he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. Consider that his suffering began. I don't know how it was that Messiah, the revelation came to him. I was just thinking about this the other day. At what age did he understand? The whole Superman movie is based upon this thing. And I don't like, though I can watch some of these movies for a little bit of enjoyment, they bother me because it's trying to bring the gospel down to a level. I saw just today on the news that some church, I think it's in Australia or somewhere, is using one of these top games in order to teach Bible, to teach the Bible stories. You know, the stories of Scripture, if taught under the anointing, don't need to be done with a game. It doesn't need to be packaged. If the Scripture is taught under the anointing of the Ruach HaKodesh, we do not have to teach it through the filter of our culture. In fact, to teach Scripture through the filter of our culture is to possibly take the anointing away from it. So if we are to understand that the Scripture has power, it does not, the Scripture does not say that a game has the power to split the very bones down to the marrow, to get into the place of our body where our blood is produced, our marrow. A game does not have that. Pizza night does not have that. What has that is the word which is given forth under the anointing. When that happens, that has power. And so I don't know when Yeshua found out who he was, but there was some place. Could it have been, you know, at that time of his bar mitzvah where we read about in Matthew when he was talking to the elders? It could have been at that time that he realized, he came to the realization of who he was, whenever it was. I truly believe that his suffering began at that time. For we consider suffering to be more of you have a sickness. You get into some infirmity comes upon you. You get, I'm not going to say the diseases, but you get some kind of disease, okay? And a person is suffering from that disease. But is suffering in the physical body, is what level of suffering is that? It's very minor, actually. We suffer emotionally, okay? Mentally. You can suffer mentally. But there are things that get down into your very spirit. Those things that get into your spirit is conditions that are going on around you. David would say, rivers of tears flow down from my eyes because they do not obey your Torah. What was he saying in that verse? He was saying, without the obedience to the Torah, they'll never find the Messiah. Yes, I said that. Without obedience to the Torah, they will never find the Messiah that the Scripture reveals. they will find a different image, a variation. Is that variation enough to redeem a person? That's not my call. That's not up to me. The Father has never asked my opinion on whether another person is worthy of redemption or not. It's probably not even on his list of things to do, to even consider asking me my opinion. So, when you see something in a person or a people, you know a calling that a person has, a people have, and you understand that they're not receiving that. I look at what's going on in Israel today of rockets being fired. And what will the government do? In the end, basically nothing. They'll bomb a couple of buildings, maybe a few buildings. Think about the Oslo Wars, known as the Intifada, starting in the year 2000. How many buildings were bombed? How many Hezbollah, Hamas buildings were bombed? What happened? Nothing. What changed? Nothing. It changed on maybe a couple of moments. There was a temporary ceasefire, a hudna in Islam. A hudna is a temporary ceasefire that I will sign, I will declare until I can then re-strengthen to come at you again. That's the life. That's the life of the enemy of Israel. Going back, not just into recent history, but thousands of years. A hudna was declared after the time of the destruction of the first temple, after we just went through Purim, Haman, with the Romans, the Inquisitions. These were temporary ceasefires until the enemy could come up with another plan and strengthen himself in order to come forth and try to once again defeat, which is never going to happen. We know that. There was a suffering that Messiah experienced that went far beyond anything that could have been in his natural body. Anything that was, it was far greater than anything in his emotions. It was a suffering that came from his spirit. It says that and the fellowship of his sufferings is I am being conformed to his death. Being conformed to his death is to overcome ourself. That's what it means. Okay? To be conformed to his death, he overcame the flesh that he had been put into. Okay, we go back to that verse. Unto us a child is born, and a son is given. The son is given into the child that is born. We are a person that has been placed into a person. And it is this flesh that we deal with. He learned through obedience and trusting in the power of the Ruach how to be conformed into the image of death, even though he was still alive. That he died to his own self. He died to the nature that you and I have. That's what we struggle with. So, one more verse I want to go to and then kind of start to wrap this up. So that somehow I might arrive at being resurrected from the dead. So, what do we see in this? We see that Shaul had come to the understanding that if I know Messiah, if I am found in him, I will, with that, I will understand at a greater level who Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, who the Father is. If I am anointed with, empowered by, the same Spirit that raised him from the dead, then I will know how the power of resurrection works upon this earth. I will be able to work in the same miraculous the Messiah walked in, that he worked in. So, where is that today? I can look around and ask the question, well, where is that in the Messianic movement today? My alarm went off there for the Shema, so we're going to move on. So, as I was saying, we could ask, where is this power in the Messianic movement, in Christianity, and whatever you want to, whoever you want to point your fingers at, okay? There is a move in our day by Messianics to even try to self-destruct. I don't follow a lot on Facebook because of this very reason, but there are those on Facebook that are, most every post they have is hatred toward Messianics. It's downgrading. It's saying everything that's wrong with this movement. Well, guess what? You're a part of it. In fact, if you're doing that, and I doubt that anybody listening to me is, but if you are one of the ones that's downgrading, is pointing fingers and saying how bad the Messianics are, guess what? This is kind of like an autoimmune disease. What is an autoimmune disease? An autoimmune disease is when the body attacks the body. If you're posting things against the very people that you are a part of, then, well, that's a good message in there, by the way, then you are attacking the body. You're no more than a disease. You need to be cured, okay? So, if I ask, where is that? The only place that I can look to ask that question is maybe in this camera lens, maybe in my mirror. I should be asking, where is this power working today? If it's not working in my life, then I should not be talking bad about somebody else that is not working in their life either. If you want to straighten things out in the world, straighten out the person in your mirror first. I put out a thought for the day, and one of the things I put out is the greatest asset that a man or woman has, is a truthful mirror. Consider that. The greatest asset that you have is a truthful mirror. That you're willing, that's Yaakov talks about this, about a man that looks in the mirror, sees himself, and then turns around and forgets who he is. A truthful mirror will reveal who you are in such a way that you will then walk in that revelation so you can change the person that you are. And there's where it comes down to. That in order for us to walk in a resurrection power, we are going to have to change. We are going to have to be align ourselves with his word, with his ways. As Dick Rubin said in conjunction with the tabernacle, when the pattern is right, the glory will fall. So if the glory, the kavod of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, is not in our lives, it's not his fault. It's that we need to change our pattern instead of trying to continue to change his pattern. With that being said, why is it that for the most part we do not see that? Well, in America, we've been told, in America, it's, we just, we don't need to walk in that, because, you know, why should you have to pray over something when you can just go to the store? Why do you have to pray to get out of debt when you can just get into more debt, and it really doesn't mean anything? And that's the basis of the answer. Is change is difficult, is it not? How many of you have tried to change something in your life lately? Changing socks is easy. Changing the type of socks you wear is not easy. Think about it. The things that we wear, we know what we like, and trying to change with something is difficult. Trying to change a routine of our life is difficult. Trying to change habits in our lives are difficult. I'm talking to me as much as I'm talking to you. Those are difficult things to do, are they not? So why is it that we're not there? It comes down to this one basic word: desperation. When you and I become desperate for change, that's when change will occur. Shaul was brought to a place of desperation. He was brought to a place on the Damascus Road, in which, and I think probably he was, the change, the desperation was happening in him prior to, this desperation was leading him to a place of doing things that he probably could not believe he was doing. In himself, he knew that where he was going was wrong, but yet he was desperate to change his own life. That desperation to change his own life came out in a very positive way, because it caused him to rethink. Change happens when we are willing to rethink priorities, when we're willing to rethink attitudes, when we're willing to rethink the very basis of life. That's when change begins to happen. But those things will not happen until we get to the place of desperation. I must become desperate. Why am I living where I am right now? I'm not talking about physically. Why am I where I am in my habits, in my life, in my finances, in my health? Why am I where I am instead of where I want to be? Comes down to the word, desperate. When you become desperate for a destination, then no obstacle will stand in your way. But until we can come to the place of desperation, being desperate for Him, to know Him and the power of His resurrection, when we come to the place of being able to quote that verse this way, I am desperate to know Him and the power of His resurrection, whatever suffering I must go through, whatever being conformed I must go through, whatever I must go through to get there, I must go through to get there. When we come to that place of desperation, this verse will no longer just be on paper. This verse will be a part of our lives. Shavua Tov. Have a blessed, prosperous week. Bezrat Hashem, God willing. We'll be back in the office next week. A little bit better background than what I have here. Until then, though, be strong.